And we got special guest Al Vaughn with us today and his brother Kratos. But I got to call out Al Vaughn in the back because I always thought about how I never grew up, with a dad. And then I had a stepfather when I was 14, 15 years old. But by then, I was already too far gone. And so I wouldn't trade it for the world, though, because God gave father figures in my life. Pastor Jay, Pastor Tom, Pastor Rory, Al Vaughn. And so, Al, I just wanted to say thank you because you are one of the reasons that I'm up here today. So thank you, brother. I haven't seen you for a while, but we still stay in contact. So thank you, brother. But so today we're on your study sheet. If you didn't get a study sheet, please raise your hand. The ushers are ready in the back to come and give you one. But we're going to be talking about the key to understanding Revelation, chapter 1. And it's an addendum. We're going to be talking about an addendum of something that Pastor Tom had already talked about, but we're going to go deeper into it. And so I wanted to start off today with talking about how after I first got saved, Pastor Jay led me to the Lord 25 years ago. Back then, he wasn't Pastor Jay, he was just Jay. And he discipled me. And I remember asking why I know I can believe the Bible, and he said, well, you can believe every word of it. You can take it literal unless it says otherwise. So I was like, all right. So I was reading it, and I was taking notes, and he was answering, and sometimes we'd spend 2 weeks just answering questions because I grew up in church, and yet I felt robbed because I didn't know the things that I was learning just in discipleship. Let alone growing up in church, I felt like I should have known more of those things. Maybe it would have had something more to do with my salvation earlier on. Regardless, I learned so much going through discipleship. But I also learned a lot coming into the main service and hearing Pastor Tom's preaching. And I remember after the church had first started and he was going systematically through the book of Acts, and he would tell us to read the chapter that he was going to be covering ahead of time so that we were familiar with it the next week when he would come in and preach. And so I remember getting to Acts chapter 10, and it was talking about how Peter went up on the roof of Simon the Tanner, and he was up there. He falls into a trance, and he has a vision of this sheet that descends down from heaven, and it's got these unclean animals on it, and God says, you know, take up and eat. And Peter says, not so, Lord. I'm not going to eat anything that's unclean. You know, I'm a good Jew. I'm not going to do that. And I don't want to eat anything common. And God says, don't call anything common that, you know, I've called clean. And so it descends down again. Take up and eat, Peter. No, God, it's not kosher. I'm not going to do that. Comes down again a third time. And again, Peter denies it. And I remember reading that thinking, there's got to be more to that. I don't understand it. I don't get it. And then I remember exactly where I was sitting at Jackson High School in the back of the auditorium when the church had first started and we were meeting over there. I remember exactly where I was sitting. And I remember when Pastor Tom was preaching through this part of Acts chapter 10, and he talked about how three times Peter denied the unclean food, where he says, take up and eat. And then three unclean Gentiles come knocking on the door, and God was opening the door of salvation unto the Gentiles, and that was a picture. God was trying to tell Peter to go. Go unto the Gentiles now. I know they're unclean, but I'm giving them the gospel. And I remember when Pastor Tom preached through that, I'll never forget going, in the middle of service. And I was like, because I got it. It clicked. And then people were like looking over at me to make sure everything was okay, but I got it. And I love that because Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by what? It's hearing, and hearing by the? I pray the same thing is happening as we're going through the book of Revelation. It can be a difficult book to understand, but once you get it, and it starts to click, you got one up on most people out there because they don't get it. And because they don't get it, they don't want to believe it. And so I pray the same thing happens today. We're going to go back and look at a passage that Pastor Tom had worked through but didn't have time to really develop. And so I pray that today things will click better now than they ever have for you. With that being said, let's go ahead and open up in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I just love you so much. Just thank you for giving us a book that gives us all things pertaining unto life and godliness, and that we can open this book and read it and believe it when we rightly divide it, so that we can know what's happening out there around us today and that we don't have to be afraid. So Lord, I pray that's what happens with us in here today. I pray that I would get out of the way and that you would just use me as a vessel to preach your word, and it would go forth on listening ears and softened hearts, and it would take root, and that we would just love you more, understand you more, and desire to do more for you, Lord, knowing that it's very important for us to be faithful believers because you're coming back soon. So, Lord, I love you so much, and I thank you. All these things we pray in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. On your study sheet, the title of today's message is The Importance of Being Faithful Believers in the Last Days. And follow along with me. It says, God's purpose for the book of Revelation is to reveal the prophetic events leading up to and following the restoration of his kingdom. If you can go ahead and show that picture. Now, this is what happens when you ask a Baptist, what's going on in the world right now? You go, okay, well, it goes back to King Nebuchadnezzar's dream and the fact that there was this 10-toed kingdom that called the New World Order and Satan's end time prophecies, and whew, we can really work this. But this is when you open up your Bible and you read it and you believe it, this is what you come out with. You have a greater understanding than all those people around you. God put it in there for us to know. That's why it's called the book of Revelation. It's to reveal, not to hide. And so this is, when somebody asks us what's going on, this is what's going through our mind because we have an understanding of these things. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Now, in the beginning of our study, we learned of God's desire and promise to bless is your blank, those servants who are willing to respond to the truths that he reveals. Go to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, look at verse 1. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants, that's us, things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. What he says here in Revelation chapter 1, in the very beginning of Revelation, he says again in Revelation 22. Go there with me. Revelation chapter 22. Look at verse 6. It says, and he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Look at verse 10. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Why? For the time is at hand. Look at verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work, as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. So God gave us the book of Revelation to reveal the events leading up to and following the restoration of his kingdom. He has a desire and a promise to bless those who are willing to respond to the truths that we find in this book. And so continuing on your study sheet, though we are only 3 chapters into the book, God has already pulled no punches, calling out Satan's end time, one world, religio-political system, its adherents, and its ultimate destruction. Therefore, it is no surprise that it is the most feared, hated, misunderstood, and attacked book in the Bible by believers and non-believers alike. So much so that it was actually missing from Codex Vaticanus. It was rejected by early church heretics such as Eusebius and Origen, and was even attempted to be removed from the hands of the common man by the Roman Catholic Church for nearly a millennium. The whole Bible, they wanted to give it to just the priests and the Nicolaitans, those who could understand it in its original languages, and they wanted to take it out of the hands of the common man, primarily the book of Revelation, because it called out their entire system, as we've already seen. So if Revelation is such a controversial theological battleground, then we, individually and corporately, better know what we are contending for and why. But God only reveals this knowledge to faithful servants who are willing to read, hear, and keep the truths found within this book, recognizing that the time is at hand. And so your first point there that we're going to get into is being a faithful believer that's faithful to read. Being faithful to read. The first thing we saw in Revelation chapter 1, 3, it said, "Blessed is he that readeth." And so the first thing I want to show you, if you'd put that up on the screen, it's toye lege. That's how you pronounce it. It's Latin, toye lege. This is in the beginning of your Bible if you have the King James translator notes to the reader. But it says, "But now what piety without truth?" What truth, what saving truth, there's a difference, without the word of God, and what word of God, that's very important, which one, whereof we may be sure, without the scripture. The scriptures, we are commanded to search. They are commended that searched and studied them. They are reproved that we're unskillful in them or slow to believe them. They can make us wise unto salvation. If we be ignorant, they will instruct us. If out of the way, they will bring us home. If out of order, they will reform us. If in heaviness, comfort us. If dull, quicken us. If cold, inflame us. Toye lege, take up and read. Take up and read the scriptures. That is your blank. Take up and read is your blank. Take up and read the scriptures, toye lege. Blessed is he that readeth. On your study sheet, we talk about this all the time in discipleship and youth ministries, but we can't disconnect from it just because we're familiar with it. It's the fact that God used 40 men, all from different backgrounds, many of which that did not know each other, over the span of 1,500 years on three different continents to write his word as one consistent message, being 100% historically and prophetically accurate, preserving it all along the way over the past 4,000 years. That, ladies and gentlemen, makes the Bible a supernatural book. We teach it in kids club. We have the kids hold up their Bibles and we have them say, "God wrote this book so I can know him. God wants me to read it every day. This book tells me how to live my life. This book tells me how to love my Lord. And this book is alive." And we make sure that they understand that God's not impressed with what we know about his word, but rather our heart attitude toward his word. It is a supernatural book, and we serve a supernatural God. We need to read it and believe it. On your study sheet, we have already seen how God supernaturally purified and preserved the King James Bible as the eighth version of the Bible in English, if you put Psalm 12 up there. We already covered this. We're going to go deeper into this. Psalm 12, 6 and 7, it says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them." What's them? The words. "Thou shalt preserve them," the words, "from this generation and forever. We know this. We've covered this. On your study sheet, we then identified the book of Revelation as the capstone of this incredible, inspired, purified, and preserved supernatural book. You're in Revelation 22. Look at verse 16. It says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel, to testify unto you these things in the churches. And that's exactly what we're doing today, 2,000 years later. He goes on to say, I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Revelation is the capstone of this entire incredible book that gives us the prophecies that we're blessed when we read them. And so if you'd show that picture, this is a key. And I don't know if you know this, but these are the parts of a key. You got the bow, and you've got on the bottom, you got the shoulder, you got the biting, you got the tip. But you know what that long, flat part on the top of a key is? It's called a blade. Interesting. On your study sheet, we also saw how the Bible is the key of David, which makes Revelation the tip of the what? The blade. Revelation is literally the tip of the blade that unlocks the door to understanding all prophecy in Scripture. It's the tip of the blade. That's what I love about that. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick, it's alive, and it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged what? Sword. Piercing even into the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. All three parts of us, body, soul, and spirit, the word of God is able to penetrate. Revelation is the tip of the blade. Without it, we cannot understand all prophecy. Remember the book of Daniel. Now, we talked about how the book of Daniel is basically the book of Revelation in the Old Testament, but God told Daniel after he wrote it down, now seal this up. Don't reveal this. It'll be made known until the time of the end. But in Revelation, John is told not to seal it. Look at Revelation 22 and verse 10. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. And it's because of that, if you show that next picture, all the pins of prophecy are now put in place. When you put that key, the tip of the blade, without the tip of the key, that final pin couldn't be set in place. And so prophecy would be dull. We wouldn't understand it fully, if not for the book of Revelation. That's how important it is. But once we understand that tip of the key and we put it into the door and it unlocks that door, revealing all prophecy, then we can know what the book says and we can believe it. We can believe it. No wonder on your study sheet. No wonder God desires to bless the faithful servants willing to take up and read this book. Now, what we have studied in chapters 1 through 3, they will culminate at the end of the book as the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus the Lord is manifested. In Revelation chapters 1 through 3, it was revealed to us who Jesus Christ is. He's God in the flesh, and it gives an incredible description of him. Gives him some of his characteristics too. We're going to see that as the book progresses, expect in Revelation chapter 4 and Revelation chapter 5 at the throne of God. And then in Revelation chapter 19, when he comes back, we're going to see all that unfold. We're also going to see the church age and how it culminates, because pretty soon it's going to go away, the church is. But in Revelation 19, it's going to come back, and that's going to be us, and we're clothed in white, bringing in the kingdom. We're going to know our role and what happens with us while we're in heaven. No wonder he starts out Revelation 1:3 with, blessed is he that readeth. But it says, blessed is he that readeth the words of this prophecy. That's the difference. Letter B on your study sheet. Because one of the biggest end times battles, it lies with the key ring of David. If you'd show the picture. and the multitude of versions. When it says, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy, what prophecy? Because each of the different versions give different details to the prophecies. Changing of one little word can change everything. So therefore, one of the things that Pastor Tom worked through was just how the Bible in English and our King James Bible has been preserved, but we're going to dig just a little bit deeper because it says, blessed is he that readeth. But what are we reading? Which one are we reading? If Revelation is that key, the tip of the blade, then we better know it. We better believe it. We better understand it. But there's a lot of different keys out there claiming to be the key. There's a whole key ring of them. It matters. So on your study sheet, yes, there is a blessing for those that read it, but the Bible says there's a curse for those that change it. You're in Revelation chapter 22. Look at verse 18. He says, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. Again, Revelation 1 and Revelation 22, the opening and closing, saying the same things. But look what it says. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. There is a blessing for those that read this book, but there's a curse for those who change it. Must be careful. Blessed is he that readeth and that heareth the words of this prophecy. What prophecy? On your study sheet, things that are different are not the what? They're not the same. Things that are different are not the same. 2 Corinthians 2, it tells us there are literally corruptors of the word of God that are trying to change things. 2 Thessalonians 2, I love this passage where it's talking about the end times. And so Paul had gone and he had written letters to Thessalonica and told them, explaining what the rapture is and told them about these end time events. But then in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he warns them saying, hey, be careful because there are people that are writing false letters in my name saying that the rapture has already happened and you're going to be left behind to go through the tribulation period. False letters in the name of Paul. False versions in the name of God. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I feel like this had to be part of the addendum. Blessed is he that readeth. Readeth what? 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look at verse 1. Says Paul, 2 Timothy 4, verse 1, it says, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, the living and the dead, at his appearing and his kingdom. And he says, listen, preach the word. Don't be ashamed of it. Be instant in season, out of season. Now, I always have thought about this, and I explain it this way, but Ethan was in cross country and track, and in Grace you were too, so I'm sure this is the same thing, but Ethan's shoes cost over $130. And he went through like three pairs a year. That's ridiculous. But if we were to buy last season shoes, they were $80. So we would take and buy Ethan's shoes last season, and we would say, wear them like they're in season. Because the only difference between the two was the color scheme. That's the only difference between 2025, Ghost, Brooks, whatever, and 2024, Brook Ghosts, were the colors. So we're going to buy him 2024's model. Yeah, they're out of season. Doesn't matter. Wear them like they're in season. You know what? The Bible. Preach it. Even if it's out of season, even if it's not popular, preach it like it is. Wear those shoes. Be proud of those shoes. Wear them like they're this season's. Preach the book. Preach the word. Preach it. Make it popular, even when it's not. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. Two parts negative. but with all long-suffering, it's a hard word to figure out, long-suffering, it means to suffer long, with all long-suffering and doctrine. Why? For the time will come, and now is, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears from YouTube. Oops, sorry, read that into the text. But it's true. They don't want to hear sound doctrine. They want to hear some new thing. Verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto podcasts or fables. Sorry, goodness. But it's true. Because people want to get their doctrine from someone else or something else. They don't understand the safety and the umbrella of protection in a local New Testament church and the preaching that comes from there. And so the fact that these YouTube preachers or these podcasters, most of them preach like they've got churches, like 10 churches, each with 5,000 people, when really it's them preaching to like 20 people. But since they know how to use social media, oh, they know everything. But they don't know how to rightly divide the Word of God. And so we have to be careful. And so it tells us, be careful, because those things are happening now. Look at verse 5. But even in spite of these things that are going on, watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. Even because of these things, we still need to be faithful and make full proof of our ministry. Things that are different are not the same, but we need to be able to recognize this so we know what we're reading and why. But when we have this key ring of David, all these different keys telling us all these different things, it muddies the waters of what God is trying to say of the Trinity, of New Testament church age salvation, even of identifying the Antichrist. Revelation 22:16, we saw Jesus Christ as the bright and morning star. Isaiah 14, if you'd show that, it says the same thing. Talking about Jesus, it says, how have you fallen from heaven, morning star? Oh, wait, that's not talking about Jesus. That's talking about Lucifer. Oh, how have you fallen from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn? Wait, so who's the morning star, Jesus or Satan? Satan is not the morning star. But yet, the key ring of David, majority of those other Alexandrian texts say that Satan is. That's weird. It muddies the waters with devils, with alcohol, with the blood of Christ, and countless typologies and prophecies that you can't understand when even sometimes just one word or even just the fact that a word has been pluralized. Can't follow it. It's a supernatural book. You start changing it, you take away the supernatural aspect. Now, God is supernatural, and he's able to save those, even with all these different versions in this key ring, but it's not his key. Even today's verse, Revelation 1:3, if you'd show that. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy. Oh, okay, so I'm only blessed if I read it out loud. That's different. It's not the same. And blessed are those who hear it and take to heart. Wait, I thought it was to keep. Or take to heart and to keep, the same thing? Well, talk about that. What is written it? Because the time is near. No, the time's at hand. Things that are different are not the same. Got to be careful. But it doesn't really matter, does it? Because the promise is missing out of that. All those other Alexandrian texts anyways. Go to Psalm 12:6-7. Alexandrian texts, they say, and the words of the Lord are flawless, like silver purified in a crucible, like gold refined 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation and forever. No, you, Lord, will keep the needy safe, and you will protect us forever from the wicked. It's a little different. Where's the promise that he has a perfect preserved word? Things that are different are not the same. Blessed is he that readeth. Readeth what? Blessed is he that heareth the prophecies of this book. Which book? The key or the key ring? Now you see the depth of the meaning of just that one phrase, blessed is he that readeth. Next on your study sheet, number 2, faithful to hear. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. What prophecies? Well, first, letter A, it's the prophecies of church history. Go back to Revelation chapter 1. The prophecies of church history. Look at verse 10. John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Remember, that's the day of the Lord. It's not Sunday. And heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches, which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna and Pergamos and Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. There are prophecies talking about church history, and we, on your study sheet, we are to know them and to understand them. We need to understand these things, knowing the dispensation of the church age. Like Hebrews 1 says, God, who at sundry times, sundry means different, and in diverse manners, different. So God, who at different times and different manners spoke differently, but in these last days has spoken to us by Jesus Christ. God speaks differently at different time to different people. Hebrews chapter 11, I love talking about this. The word dispensation, it's a beautiful biblical word, but it's been hijacked. They've made a straw man by attaching a false definition to it, and then they try to take it away from us. But it's in the Bible. Dispensation, it's just how God dispenses his truth at different times to different people. So I always say Hebrews chapter 11, and we look through, everybody is saved by faith, but it's faith in what God says. So therefore, Hebrews chapter 11, so let me ask you, were you saved by sacrificing and trusting in the blood of a lamb? Did you have to sacrifice a lamb for your salvation? No, but Cain and Abel did. Did you have to build a boat and get in order to be saved? Noah did. Did you have to become a stranger and a pilgrim to leave the land to find the promised land? No. Abraham did. Did you have to grow up in a palace and leave the palace to go into the wilderness so you can lead the rest of your people out of the wilderness, out of Egypt? Nope. Moses did, and the people had to trust that. His parents even had to trust in putting him in an ark and putting him in the river. Jacob had to do what God said and bless that second-born son. I mean, it goes on and on. They were saved by faith, but faith in what God told them to do. And so we need to understand these things. We need to understand it. We need to understand the church age. Because if you don't, you get a lot of doctrine messed up. Now, I'll never forget, if you'd show that first picture up there. This was me when I was reading the book of Revelation. I understood, and remember, Pastor Tom always talks about how, and he showed this, and I loved it because the old screen used to have exactly 7 panels, and it was perfect. It's not anymore. So now he would talk about how there's church history, 2,000 years of church history. But I had read through Revelation by the time he went through the book and taught through Revelation in a Sunday morning series, and I had already been through it multiple times, and I couldn't grasp it. I didn't understand why. I had pixelated vision. I was right here, and I would read, and I'm like, Christ comes back 4 times? I don't get it. And I was pretty good with understanding the church age, the going over into the millennium and going on into eternity future. Yeah, I'm still shaky on some of that stuff, to be honest, but I get it. But man, I didn't understand. And I love it because I was sitting back there where Dave Hewson was, and I was sitting right on the end, and Pastor Tom talked about how there are 4 trips through the tribulation period, kind of like the Gospels. And each one kind of zeroes in on different events. And it was like I said in the beginning with Acts chapter 10, where I'm like, I get it. I get it. I finally get it. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I had read through this so many times, but it finally clicked. And I was able to, if you show the next picture, rightly divide. It was no longer pixelated vision. When I was reading the Bible, and the book of Revelation specifically, I was like this, and I'm like, yeah, but how does that play out with that? And how does that play out with that? And so Pastor Tom said, here's what you need to do. Oh, I get it. I had to take a step back and see how God divided the book of Revelation, and it clicked. And I still remember exactly where I was sitting because it was no longer pixelated. I understood the church age. I understood the tribulation, the second coming. I understood all these things. That's the word of this prophecy. And when you understand it, it unlocks everything. We need to know and understand the church age. On your study sheet, Pastor Tom just said this last week, learning how to be Philadelphians and Laodicea. We need to know how to do that, knowing we're in the last church age. He's about to take us out. Jeremiah 4, I put it up on the screen for you. Look at what it says. It says, for my people, it's foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children. They have none understanding. Sounds a lot like Laodicea. Whole book, of Jeremiah does. It says, they are wise to do evil, but to do good, they have no knowledge. That's this church age. They know how to do what's wrong, but they're not very convicted about doing what's right. They don't know what to do when it comes to doing what's right. And yet Paul says the exact opposite. Put Romans 15 up there, 16. It says, for your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. It's been completely flipped and reversed. If we're going to be Philadelphians in this Laodicean church age, we need to get back to the way it's supposed to be. But that's why Isaiah 5:20 says, woe unto them that call good evil and evil good, light for darkness and darkness for light. It's been reversed even in the churches. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We have to be careful. Now, Pastor Tom has already talked about a lot of the signs of the times and identifying these things that are happening now, but we need to be faithful to hear the words of this prophecy so we can identify what's going on, and we need to be faithful to hear the things that are going on out there, not to be wise to the things that are evil, but to know about them, to know what's going on. Let's make people mad about this whole LGBTQ movement. It's a parasitic movement that attaches itself to anything that seems like it has a chance so that it can be forwarded any which way, and it's wrong. And God calls it out, and yet, churches are flying flags. Churches and Laodicea are giving in to these things. They are not reading and hearing the words of this prophecy. They cannot be blessed. The BLM movement, again, they might take one or two things that make a little bit of sense, and what do? That maybe can be argued, oh, okay, I see your point. I don't know if that's true or not, but I see where you're coming from. And then they don't even know that it's rich white people that fund them. Anti-Semitic protests. Think of all that's going on right now, especially in the college campuses, Ivy League schools. Don't we look to the Ivy League schools and go, they're smarter than I am because they got into a college that I couldn't even get past to write your name. And yet, look at what they're doing. How about open borders? Everything that's going on with the open borders. You know that all goes, already talked about it, it all goes back to Daniel's Nebuchadnezzar's dream in the book of Daniel, the ten-toed kingdom. Open borders, this globalism. It's all there. How about mobile mobs? They have proven over and over again that there are people, mobs, there are leaders of these mobs that are hired, and they take groups of them from city to city. That was going on in your Bible 2,000 years ago. Read the book of Acts, where mobs would get mad at people preaching the gospel, so they would rally a group of lewd fellows of the baser sort, and they would send them to the next city. And then the next city, mobile mobs have been going on for over 2,000 years. It's all in this book. It's been revealed. 2 Peter 2:13, it says, "Woe unto them that count it pleasure to ride in the daytime." That's exactly what's happening today. They're rewriting history. I just taught 13 weeks through this, through America's Cultural Revolution, and just talking about where these things, everything that's happening today, where does it come from? Listen, the importance of being a faithful believer in the last days is knowing how to identify these things, to read what this book says and understand and hear the words of this prophecy, the capstone of this book, of the Bible, is Revelation, to know what we're talking about. Listen, the easiest way to die in a war is not to know you're in one. It's just to walk around and not even understand that you're at war. That defines Laodicea. They don't understand they're in a war, and that's why they're getting compromised and picked off over and over and over. That's why our church's vision for this year is to redeem the time for the days are evil. But the verse before that, it says that we're supposed to walk circumspectly. We're supposed to walk around and understand and identify the things that are going on. You cannot do that unless you're reading this book and you're hearing the words of this prophecy. It's huge. On your study sheet, what prophecies? Letter B. It's the prophecy of the signs of the times. I don't have to go into this because Pastor Tom's going to hammer this when we get to Revelation chapter 6. But you need to understand that there is an increase, as your blank, an increase of false teachers, false Christs, of false prophets. There's an increase of wars and rumors of wars. There's an increase of famines, an increase of pestilences. There's an increase of natural disasters. There's an increase of betrayal, hatred, and martyrdom. All these things are happening and they're going on around us. But listen, to be a faithful believer in these last days, we must read and hear the prophecies of future tribulation events and see how those things are developing and happening right now. Listen, people get freaked out about AI. That can be okay to get freaked out about it because we know that life is going to be given to an inanimate object. Not just one, many things. It doesn't mean that everything that's going on with AI is bad. Of course not. But we know it's going to be used for bad. Vaccines that mess with DNA or attach themselves to DNA, whatever. Doesn't mean it's bad, but we know that there's coming a day, and probably now is, as it was in the days of Noah, where there's going to be a mixing of DNA. There's going to be a manipulating of DNA. So we can't and just act like it doesn't exist. We don't have to be so sheltered from it that we're afraid of it, and we call out everything about it wrong, but we know it's going to be used for wrong. We need to be aware of that. Identify it and be aware of it. Everything going on with Israel. Look at what's happening now. These are all end time events. We've covered these things. Letter C, prophecies of literal future end time events like the rapture, the tribulation period, the second coming of Christ, the final satanic one world kingdom. We're going to learn more about that in Revelation chapter 13 when we get there. And we're going to learn about its destruction in Revelation 18. About the millennium, about hell and the lake of fire, about heaven and eternity future. We need to understand these things. Blessed is he that readeth and that understand the words of this prophecy. Put 1 Chronicles 12 up there on the board. I love this passage. It says, and the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. The heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment. First Baptist of Jackson, who has understanding of the times to know what we are supposed to do, to know what the world is supposed to do. All our brethren, it doesn't mean they're at our commandment, but they're looking to us. People don't know what's going on out there. They look at a cause, and through good words and fair speeches, they find ways to be, I kind of agree. I see what they're saying there. I'll agree with that. And they'll allow these parasitic causes even into the church. It changes everything. You have to be careful. We need to have understanding of the times so that we know what to do and we know how to tell other people what to do, what to be aware of. That's why I put that on your study sheet, the outline of Revelation. You need to understand this. You need to understand that there's four trips through the tribulation period. You need to understand that there's a church age. You need to understand that things are different. You need to understand that there are other Bibles using different words and different dictionaries. Maybe they use the same word, but it's a different dictionary. Changes everything. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and that keep those things which are written therein. Number three, it's faithful to keep. It's faithful to keep. Do you understand that not even finished with three chapters into the book of Revelation, we've already covered all seven mysteries, all seven wills of God and the Great Commission, all things that we're going to be accountable for at the judgment seat of Christ? We've already covered in just three of the chapters. Case in point, letter A. The Bible says that we are accountable to be stewards, is your blank, stewards of the seven mysteries found within the book. Like the mystery of godliness. Did we not learn about Jesus in Revelation chapter 1 being God? And it's incredible because in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, each chapter gives a little image of who Jesus is. And we're going to learn more about that in Revelation 19. The fact that he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The mystery of Christ indwelling the believer. We've been talking about New Testament church age salvation. We're going to go further. We're going to talk about what happens in the tribulation, what happens in the millennium. Things that are different are not the same. There are dispensations. The mystery of the church in Christ. We've been talking about this. We're talking about the church age. You're accountable to these mysteries, and we've already covered them. The mystery of the rapture. We're going to be talking about that very soon. Because the church is going to be caught up. The mystery of iniquity. We've talked about this. This Baalism. The history of the Antichrist and his kingdom revealed and destroyed. And we're going to go even deeper into it in Revelation chapter 13. Of course, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and those that keep the things which are written therein. We're going to be accountable to what we know about these things. The mystery of Israel's restoration, the fact that God is not done with Israel, and he will bless those that help them. We've already talked about those who think that they are done and they've replaced Israel. They belong to the synagogue of Satan. We talked about that twice, if not more. In the mystery of Babylon the Great, the history of the unifying end time religion revealed and then destroyed. You're like, well, I don't know what the seven mysteries are. Well, Pastor Stephen's teaching through them on Wednesday night. Are you just finished? Teaching through them, you can get the audio for them, but you've already covered them here. Even if we didn't directly call them out yet, you've already covered all seven mysteries, Pastor Tom has, by just coming and hearing these things. All your ologies are found in these mysteries. Of course you're blessed if you read and hear. We're called to be stewards of these things. A proper steward has to know what's going on, so he needs that key. And revelation is the tip of the blade that goes into that lock, and it unlocks the door of all prophecy. If you're going to be a proper steward of the seven mysteries, you need to understand, hear, and keep the things found within this book of Revelation. Next, through our study of church history, we learn to fulfill the seven wills of God. Ephesians 5:17, it says, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Repentance. Did we talk about repentance? Yeah, like eight times it's mentioned in just two chapters. Whether it's the salvation or for a believer getting right with God from disobedience, God's will is that all would be saved, that all should come to repentance. Sanctification, that God wants all of us to be set apart unto him. Every letter to every church talks about how they're to be further separated from the world unto God. Transformation, the fact that God does not want us conformed to this world, but transformed into his image. Every letter gives us a description of Jesus Christ and some of his character. Every letter, we've been learning the will of God every week. Obedience, that God wants us to obey authorities, having a testimony to God and to man, even unto death. And we learned an incredible story after story after story, going through all the persecutions that had happened through history. And yet we're to obey our authorities, even if it's unto death, because God's going to have a special blessing for us. About thankfulness, that God wants us to be thankful at all times, especially, and we talked about this, for having a completed word. Thankful for the Philadelphian church age missionaries that were able to go out into the ends of the earth. Motivation, the fact that God wants us to have pure motives from a pure heart. Each church epistle, every week we're learning how to labor properly for the Lord. And then to be circumspect, to walk circumspectly. God wants us to walk wisely and aware, not wasting time. And you cannot fulfill this will without reading, hearing, and keeping the things we've learned so far in just three chapters. Three chapters, let alone the rest of the book. Got 19 more chapters to go. Letter C, as well as our great commission of evangelism and discipleship from church to church. We really saw this play out in Philadelphia, and we're right now watching it fizzle out in Laodicea. But it's more than just taking these things to heart. Remember we talked about the NIV and what it says with Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3, how it says that they're blessed if they take these things to heart. And yet, our Bible, verse 3, it says that they're blessed if they keep those things which are written therein. There's a difference between taking to heart and keeping. The word keeping, it means to observe and do. It means to obey. And so when Jesus told his disciples that they need to keep his commandments, was he saying, hey, I really want you to take my commandments to heart? No, he was saying, do them, obey them, keep them. There's a difference. We need to keep these things. And so no wonder, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and that keep those things which are written therein. Why? Number four, so that we can be faithful unto the end, because the time is at hand. Faithful to read, faithful to hear, faithful to keep, and faithful unto the end. Letter A, our obedience and faithfulness to Jesus Christ blesses, is your blank. It blesses us both now and in the future. We need, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And we need to make sure we stay faithful. Unfortunately, there's testimony after testimony, even people in Scripture, but people that we look to as being heroes of the faith through the centuries, and a lot of them did great. They were awesome. They were faithful for God, and it got near the end of their life, and they kind of retired on doctrine. They retired on doing what they knew was right. They gave in. Can't be us. We have a blessing on earth, but man, we also have a blessing in heaven. He's a reward of those that diligently seek him, not just here, but there. We always say in Kids Club, what we do on earth matters in heaven. What we do here matters there. On your study sheet, not only for our rewards at the judgment seat of Christ, as we lay crowns that we earn at the feet of Jesus, don't have to go into that. It's an upcoming message in Revelation chapter 4 here soon. But the crowns that we earn, we get to cast right down at the feet of Jesus. But it's also for our future role in the coming kingdom. You're in Revelation. Look at chapter 1 and verse 5. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Go to Revelation chapter 5. I mean, we could have taken the entire time and just talked about this very point. Revelation chapter 5, look at verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Listen, what we do on earth matters in heaven, and the blessing that we get when we read and hear and keep those things unto the end, it doesn't bless us now, just now. It blesses us in heaven also. Not just at the judgment seat of Christ, but our future role in the coming kingdom. Your next point there. And our millennial inheritance that we earn on earth. What we do now at how we hold this book and believe this book, especially the book of Revelation, determines our millennial inheritance that is earned on earth, which may even carry over into our eternal inheritance, as church-age saints are going to rule as kings and priests. And after God's final judgment, he creates a new heaven and a new earth, and the increase of Christ's government will continue to expand into the entire universe, and so we will reign with Christ forever and ever. What we do here on earth, it matters in heaven. The blessings that we receive now for reading and hearing and keeping those things, being faithful until the end. Yeah, we get blessings now. Man, it's going to bless us in eternity to come. This is why we must be faithful believers in the last days. Letter B, therefore, we must be, and your blank is awake. Not awoke, awake. We must be awake to the truths revealed in this book. Sadly, most of those churches that feel like they're being awakened by being awakened, they're actually being put to sleep. We must be awake to the truths revealed in this book. I love Jonah 1:6. It says there's some tribulation kind of going on with the sea and people that are thinking they're going to die. And so the shipmaster himself goes to Jonah, who's sleeping in the bottom of the boat, and he says, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. Wake up! Call upon God so that God will think upon us and we perish not. That's us. We need to make sure that we're awake in this church age, not asleep, because people are looking to us to know what to do. Go to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, look at verse 11. It says, in that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, that's our whole church age, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We need to wake up, to arise and call upon God, because the night is far spent and the day is at hand. He's coming soon. Just like Revelation 22 said, seal not the words of this prophecy. Why? Because the time is at hand. Therefore, let her see. We must not, church, we must not get weary in well-doing. Go to Acts chapter 20. Little story that we're familiar with. Acts chapter 20. Look at verse 7. Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. It says, and upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Not only was Paul a Baptist, but he was trained in our Bible Institute. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep, and he fell from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while still, even till the break of day, that didn't stop Paul. He kept on preaching. So he departed, and they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. Unfortunately, this is our church age. It's Eutychus. They start hearing preaching, they stop hearing doctrine, and they start hearing preaching and they start hearing doctrine, and they just, this is boring, fall over dead. And so that's what we're talking about here. The book of Revelation is that life that gets breathed into us. When any time, even the series on the book of Revelation has caused many guests to come. People want to know about prophecy. People want to know about what's going on out there in the world because they know things are different. They know things are changing, and they look to us. They look to the church to tell them what's going on. We need to know and not get weary in well-doing, not to fall asleep when we hear some of the same things maybe over and over again. We need to know it because they don't. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and that keep those things that are written therein, for the time is at hand. Most churches have become Eutychus. They've fallen out dead. But this book has new life. We need to take hold of that life. Now, I want to close. I know we got this last point here, but I want to close with this. I was a 90s teenager, and it's been proven. No, stop. Wait. All right. I got to give the sense of it, but it has been proven that the 90s was the best decade. So, for everything. But there was a show, and it's called Boy Meets World. And there's a point in this show that I'll never forget. And it impacts me, and it still impacts me to this day, as corny as it may seem. But just know, there's a guy, there's two friends, Sean and Corey. The guy who's going to get up and talk right now, his name is Sean. If you don't know the show, I'm just, so you're not like, well, I'm lost. Now I'm going to catch you up. Sean is a troublemaker. He doesn't take anything serious. He's always rebelling and doing things that are wrong. And Corey's the good guy. And sometimes Corey gets kind of sucked into doing what Sean does. But it comes to their last day, it's their final day of graduation, and Sean has been asked to speak. Now.
I was thinking about how much this place has been my home, and how many times I screwed up while I was here, and how I could have done better. I could have done better. That's what I wrote. That's how I feel. I'm sorry. I could have done better. Congratulations to those of you who did.
I don't want that to be the judgment seat of Christ. When we're standing before the Lord saying, oh, I could have done better. Could have done better. God, I'm sorry. I could have done better. I should have done better. Look at all these people who did. I should have done better. Being a faithful believer in the last days means we don't look back and say, I could have done better, but we look forward and say, how can I do better for God now? Look at letter D. We know Christ is coming quickly. And if we are faithful servants willing to constantly ask ourselves, how can I do better for God? Then we can say with full confidence, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us this book. Thank you for giving us this tip of the blade, the tip of the key of the book of Revelation, so that it unlocks the door to all prophecy and that we actually can read it and believe it and understand it. And if we do that, you'll bless us if we read it. You'll bless us when we hear the prophecies that are written in here, and you'll bless us when we keep those things that are written within, because it's going to help us to know the time is at hand. We understand we're in a war. Let us never forget, God. I'm sorry when I do. Lord, I don't want any of us in here to be before the judgment seat saying, I wish I could have done better. I should have done better. I should have done better. I want you to be proud of us. I want you to be proud of me. Love you so much, God. I'm sorry when I fail you. Please help all of us to understand how important it is that we're faithful believers in these last days, because other people's eternities are at stake. and you want to use us. Help us, Lord. We love you so much. We thank you. All these things we pray in your Son, Jesus' name.